Very good. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I mentioned earlier that it is our concern that boys and girls come to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at an early age. That is largely what the Master Clubs is all about, teaching boys and girls the gospel and helping Christian parents who are trying to do the same. Nowhere in the Bible is the gospel more clearly expressed than in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. So I want you to listen as I read these verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Are you clear on what the gospel actually is? Sometimes the word gospel today gets attached to adjectives. And while the Bible does use a couple modifiers, adjectives, to describe the gospel, it really doesn't need an adjective. The gospel that we read about in the Scripture is the good news, and I'll say more about that in just a moment. Some people talk about a social gospel. Adults, you've probably heard that before. This is limiting its effect to temporal needs, to taking care of the poor and taking care of physical needs. Sometimes we'll read about the false gospel in the Scripture. But you know, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, Paul said, I'm surprised that you're moved to another gospel, which really isn't another. Meaning, it's not really the gospel if it's not the gospel that was declared by the Lord Jesus and by the apostles. Of 77 occurrences in the New Testament, the word gospel is used only once, only three times with an adjective. It's called Christ's gospel once, and it's called the glorious gospel twice. So we're talking about the gospel that concerns what Christ did for us, and a gospel that is truly glorious. Boys and girls, now I want you to look this way, and I tell you what I think would help. I want you to take everything that you have in your hands and put it down on the floor in front of you, okay? Keep your hands and feet off of it and look right up here. If you're a student at LCCA, you were so well behaved in elementary chapel on Tuesday, and I want you to show everybody else how well you can behave. And if you're not a student at LCCA, I know you can be well behaved too. So I want you to pay attention. Look up here for just a few minutes while we think about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news. That's what the word means. It's a Greek word that we get that from, and it means literally good news. It's the good news that Christ Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again to reconcile or to reunite us to God by taking the punishment for all of our sins. Let me give you four things that we find in this passage and one other passage about the gospel, and we're going to do it very quickly. In fact, I'm going to have to do it so very quickly, I'm probably going to preach this message again when I can say everything about it that I want to, but we're going to go through this very quickly tonight. First of all, I want you to consider this. The gospel is a proclamation, not an expectation. You know, so many religions of the world place demands and expectations upon people so that they have to perform well in order to benefit from those religions. So if you can't do the good works and if you can't clean up your life, then you can't benefit from what's being offered in that religion. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is a proclamation. It's good. What's the word? News. It's a proclamation, not an expectation. It's not about what is expected for us to accomplish, but it's a proclamation about what has been accomplished. Paul said, I have preached the gospel to you. The word preach means to herald a truth, to announce a truth. So it's a proclamation, not an expectation. It's not something that you do. It is something that Jesus did that is worth talking about. That's the gospel. Secondly, the gospel is not only a proclamation, but the gospel is powerful. It's not imaginary. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is of God. It's powerful. It's not imaginary. There are a lot of imaginary things in this world today. Boys and girls, you probably enjoy some things that are imaginary. Lots of times, boys and girls will grow up with a favorite superhero or a favorite fictional hero and someone who has a lot of power to do certain things. A few years ago, a church around the corner from us here, which has good people in it, I'm quite sure, but they announced their vacation Bible school program in the summertime, and the title of it was, Jesus is a Superhero. And it burned me up. It really bothered me. So much so that I felt I needed to respond in the same venue. They put it on their church sign, and so I put on our church sign, not trying to be ugly, but thinking the community needed to think about this. Jesus is not your superhero, he is your savior. Now, why is that important? Because, boys and girls, we know that really Superman can't fly, because he's not real. We know that really he can't resist the penetration of a speeding bullet. Okay. We know that all the other superheroes can't do, Spider-Man can't really climb walls because he's not real. I hope I'm not upsetting anybody today. Their power is imaginary. And sometimes we fill our homes and our lives with so much of the imaginary that when we're introduced to real power, we fail to recognize, no, this is different than all the other powers that are spoken about in the world. The gospel is really powerful. It's not imaginary. We see it described here in terms that are unmatched by any of these fictional stories in the world today, because it includes a resurrection from the dead. The Bible says here that the gospel of Jesus Christ is this in verse 3. He said, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead. Now, I want to tell you, if somebody who was dead becomes alive again, something powerful has happened. You know what Jesus said? He said he had the power to lay his life down, and he had the power to take it up again. Jesus, God the Son, really, literally died for you. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to take the punishment for our sin. He was buried, which means those who buried him handled his body and they knew he was dead. When the soldier came to Jesus on the cross after he had died, the executioner was responsible to make sure that the orders of Rome had been carried out and that he was really dead. And the Bible says to be sure that he was dead, he took a spear and he pierced between certain ribs that would most certainly puncture something called a pericardium, which is an area around the heart that builds up with fluid during suffocation. That's essentially how a victim of crucifixion would die. And it also punctured his heart. The Bible said forthwith came out blood and water, and that professional executioner, the professional, the person who was paid to put people to death for Rome, knew that he was dead. And then his body was taken. The dead body of Jesus was taken and wrapped and anointed and laid in a tomb for 3 days. But after three days, when his followers were weeping and mourning and sad that Jesus had died, when they were questioning why they had believed in a man who could die, the Bible says early in the morning, before the break of day, that stone was rolled away and Jesus rose from the dead. He was alive again and he came out of the grave. That's more powerful than a make-believe Superman. That's more powerful than a Spider-Man. That's more powerful than any superhero you could imagine. Why? Because the gospel is powerful. It's not imaginary. Jesus lived. He died. He was buried. And he rose again from the dead. Nobody has that kind of power except for God. And Jesus is God the Son. The gospel is a proclamation. It's something to be proclaimed. It's not just an expectation on you. The gospel is powerful. It's not imaginary. But I want you to notice too. Now, the next two words may be hard to understand for some of our youngest children. But if you listen, I think you'll get the idea. The gospel is positional, not ethereal. Ethereal. Why would I use a $5 college word on a night that we have the boys and girls in? Maybe I shouldn't ask that question. Maybe they're smarter than the rest of us are. Ethereal is the idea of kind of being ghostly, like it's not really there. It's just kind of this big idea floating around. What is the word positional? Well, you know what a position is. I am standing behind the pulpit. That is my position tonight. But look back at what the scripture says that we've read together tonight. It says in verse 1. When it speaks of the gospel, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received." That means you believe the truth of the gospel. "And wherein ye stand." That's a position. Now, let me tell you something wonderful about the gospel. If you believe the gospel, then you are given a position in Christ and therefore in heaven. If we were to go to Ephesians chapter 1, and for sake of time we won't tonight, but Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 20, we find out that everyone who believes on Christ is placed in Christ. He is our representative. He is our Savior. And where is Christ right now? The Bible says He's seated on the right hand of God in heaven. I have never been to heaven, but in a sense I am already there because my position is guaranteed because I've trusted Jesus. 6.5 years ago, I came to Ohio to be a pastor. But before I came, this church voted to make me their pastor. A week before I came, the former pastor, Pastor Dennis, resigned and he cleaned out his office. And because this church had voted, that office became my office. Before I had ever parked myself in that office, I had a position, I had a place that was mine. And everybody here now knows that room is Pastor Falls' office. It was set aside as a place for me before I ever moved in. And you know, heaven is a wonderful place that can be set aside for you, a place specifically for you, if you will believe the gospel. The gospel's positional. You can get a position, a place in Christ. It's not some vague idea, some spiritualized idea out there. Heaven is a real place. And I know heaven's real not because some little boy had a fantastical dream and thought it was real. I know it's real because the Word of God assures me that it's real. Because I have the testimony of the Scripture that it's real. And I have a place in heaven because Jesus is in heaven. And you know what He tells me? He's prepared a place for me. The gospel's positional. It's not something that is just kind of ghostly or spiritual or vain or vague. But finally tonight, I want you to see the gospel is practical. It's practical. It's not just intellectual. It's not just something that smart people or theologians sit around and think about. It's practical. Now, what does the word practical mean? It's the idea, it's something that works and something that can work on you. It's something that makes sense for your life. It's something that brings other good things to your life. The gospel is not just some idea out there. It's not just for you to think about. It's meant to change your life. That's the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you ambassadors quoted verse 20 tonight. But verse 17 in that chapter says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Do you remember how we get in Christ? How we get that position? By believing the gospel. By believing that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so that our sins could be forgiven. If any man be in Christ, says 2 Corinthians 5, 17, he is a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. It's said this way in Ephesians chapter 2. And verses 8, 9, and 10. For by grace, the gospel of grace, are ye saved through faith, just believing, and that not of yourselves. It's not something you do. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the next verse says, this is the practical part. For we are His workmanship, created, there's that new creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The gospel isn't just something for you to believe. The gospel is something that if you will believe it, it will become a practical power in your life whereby God can change you into what you ought to be. Sometimes it's hard to obey. Sometimes people that we're supposed to obey tell us to do things that we don't really want to do. But you know, someone who believes the gospel and depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ and walks with Him can be given the power through that relationship with Jesus who died and was buried and rose again. They can be given power to do what they ought to do even when they don't really want to do it. And to do it with joy. And to come to want to do it because they're doing it for the Lord. The Lord can change our thinking. He can change our acting. He can change our talking. You ever slipped up and said a bad word you shouldn't have said before? The Lord can help you with that. Why? Because the gospel is practical. When we trust Jesus as our personal Savior, He renovates our lives. He changes it from the inside out. He transforms us into what He wants us to be. Have you believed the gospel? It's a proclamation. It's a proclamation. It's not an expectation that's laid upon you. It's not, oh, if you believe the gospel, then you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to do this. No, no, no. It's a proclamation that the good news is Jesus has already done for us what needs to be done, that we could have a relationship with God. The gospel is powerful. It's not imaginary. It's not some fairy tale about a superhero. Jesus really rose from the dead. And He's powerful enough to save you. The gospel is positional because He's made a position for you, a place for you in heaven. And if you'll trust Him, that position is reserved. And you can be with Him one day there. It's practical. Whatever's in your life that shouldn't be there, whatever sin, whatever habit, whatever struggle you have, none of that is beyond the power of God to change if you're willing to depend upon and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. So do you know what the gospel's all about? It's about the power of God displayed through Jesus Christ when He died, when He was buried, when He rose again, to take care of your sin problem so that you could have a peaceful relationship with God in heaven. Now you know what it is. Have you believed it? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?